Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Father, we do. We ask you to speak to us through your word. Father, I just believe that your word is powerful in our lives. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just anoint the preaching, the teaching of your word. And Father, that you do a work in our lives. Lord, I believe that you have sent this word for a specific purpose. And Father, I pray that tonight, Lord, that you would call people, that you would draw people, that you would move people by your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a point to this little story, so stay with me through the little story here. Well, there was a mouse who looked through a crack in the wall to see that the farmer and his wife had opened a package. The mouse thought, I wonder what food this package might contain. Well, he was devastated to see that it was a mouse trap. He retreated to the farmyard, and he went around with it telling all the other animals, there's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. Well, the chicken clutched and scratched and raised her head, said, Mr. Mouse, I can tell this is of grave concern to you, but it's of no consequence to me. I cannot be bothered by it. The mouse turned to the pig and he said, there's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. And the pig sympathized and said, I'm so very sorry for you, Mr. Mouse, but there's nothing I can do about it but pray. Be assured you are in my prayers. The mouse turned to the cow and said, there's a mouse trap in the house. There's a mouse trap in the house. And the cow said, wow, Mr. Mouse, I'm sorry for you, but it's no skin off my nose. So the mouse returned to the house, his head down and dejected, to face the farmer's mousetrap alone. And that very night, there was heard throughout the house the sound of a mousetrap catching its prey. The farmer's wife rushed to see what was caught, and in the darkness, she didn't see that it was a venomous snake whose tail had gotten caught in the trap. And she was bitten by the snake. The farmer rushed her to the hospital, and then she returned home with a fever. Everyone knows you treat a fever with fresh chicken soup. So the farmer took his hatchet to the farmyard, and the soup's main ingredient, of course, was the chicken. But the sickness continued, and so friends and neighbors came to sit with her around the clock, and to feed them, the farmer butchered the pig. The farmer's wife didn't get well. She finally passed away, and so lots and lots of people came to her funeral, and the farmer slaughtered the cow in order to feed everybody that came. The mouse looked upon it all from his crack in the wall with great sadness. So the next time you hear someone's facing a problem and didn't think it concerned you, remember when one of us is going through a difficulty, we're all at risk. We're all involved in this journey called life. Well, it's not scripture, but it makes a good point, and I just want to tell you that God wants all of us to be involved. He wants all of us to be used in some way. Listen, a life that's not used by God is a life that is missing its purpose. It's lacking real meaning. But when we're used by God, then our lives take on an eternal significance. Our lives matter in eternity. When we're used by God, then it makes a difference in somebody else's life for eternity. And sometimes you just can't even imagine how far the ripples go when you touch one life and how many other lives are then touched. But I want to challenge you tonight to be used by God. And I want to talk to you tonight about how to get used by God. We're going to go to the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And by the way, I noticed that next week we do not have Wednesday night service. We don't have a midweek service next Wednesday. And so this is not really a leadership lesson, but it's the only one you're going to get this month if you were expecting that. So, but anyway, and I thought about this, and we had a leadership lessons from Gideon some months back, And the message tonight is it's not the same. And it's amazing how God speaks to us in different ways and times through the same passages of Scripture. There are some similarities, but we're going to look at the life of Gideon tonight and how that he was used by God. And I want you to understand this. God will use anybody. And God can use anybody. And I read in the Bible where he used a donkey. So I know that he can use anybody, right? But there are certain qualities and traits. There are certain kinds of people that God uses greatly. And if we want to be used by God, then there's a lot we can learn from Gideon, who is used greatly. Judges chapter 6, we're going to read beginning from verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord... Oh, by the way, I'm preaching from the NIV again tonight just to mess people up. Anyway, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty warrior. Now, I want to share with you tonight how to be or how to get used by God. A lot of people get used. I'm talking about getting used by God, though. That's a different thing, okay? I learned a long time ago, we'll say this one more time, that God can use anybody, but there's certain qualities that the Lord likes to choose or people that he likes to choose who have these qualities. Listen. The children of Israel are under great oppression by the Midianites. And one of the things that is happening here in this situation is exactly part of that oppression, that they would take all of their wheat, to take all of their food. And so Gideon's been maligned for this. You know, here he is hiding out, this big chicken hiding out at the wine press, you know, trying to thresh wheat at the wine press. But I think Gideon was actually pretty smart that he found a place where, you know, this is an industrious young man, that he's getting the wheat threshed. He found a way to get it done. But here's the point, that the first point tonight is that to be used by God, we have to be available. Gideon was available. The Lord found this guy. He's threshing wheat. Now, I want you to notice this. He wasn't sitting on the couch watching TV. I realize that in a sense, maybe that looks available, but God seldom pulls somebody off the couch and for great and mighty things. In fact, they say if you want something to get done, you find a busy person. But here's where we run into trouble with that. Is that in our culture today, people are so busy that they're too busy to be used by God. Gideon was busy. He wasn't doing nothing. He was threshing wheat. He was taking care of business. But when the Lord called him, he was available. David was available. Isaiah was available. Said, here am I, send me. Listen, I'm just telling you, if you want to be used by God, you got to be available. And in some ways, now I'm looking at 7 points tonight, and you might have to write them down unless you can remember all seven, write them down. But in some ways, I think this is the most important one, because in our culture, I think this is the one that a lot of people never get past this one, because they're just simply not available. Lots of people want to do something for God, but they're too busy. See, there are a lot of talented musicians who could be part of our worship team. And if you're one of those tonight, please don't get under condemnation, but I hope you get under conviction and say, hey, I'm available. But the reason that a lot of talented musicians that are in the church aren't on the worship team is because they're not available. They can't come every Sunday, much less every Sunday and Wednesday, and practice this. I mean, if it was convenient, if I could show up just once in a while and jump in. But they're not available. There's a lot of people that should be leading a small group. We need a lot more small groups. We do not have enough small groups. We don't have enough small group leaders. And here's why. It's not because there's not enough people that are capable and that are qualified. It's because they're too busy. They're not available. They're capable, but they're not available. They can't even get to church once a week, much less come to church every week and lead a group. I'm preaching real good right now. I'm just telling you, if you want to be used by God, you got to be available. Lord, I'm available. When I was 17 years old, I worked at the veterinary hospital in the morning, then I went to school for a few hours, and then I worked at Kroger in the evenings, and then I went to church, and I got really busy and involved in church. I finally decided, man, this is messing up my schedule, and I quit the Kroger job. Well, the Kroger job paid really good. And after a few days, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, I got this bright idea, 17 years old. Think you're real smart. So I go back to the store, and I talk to the assistant manager. He was the one that was over the stalkers, and I'd been a stalker. And I walked in, and I told him, I said, now, I just want you to know, now here's the hours that I'm available. If you could use me, just give me a call. Well, you know what happened, right? He didn't call. He just kind of looked at me, you know. He didn't say a word, which I guess is to his credit. He probably, I don't know what he could have said besides, you idiot. But anyway, he didn't say a word, and I never heard from him. You know why? Because they weren't interested. But that is exactly the way a lot of believers do the Lord. Lord, I want to be used by you. Now, here's my hours of when I might be available this coming week. You know, this day I got 2 hours here. Next week, well, I don't have, next week we'll have to skip that week. Maybe the... If you want to give God your terms for being used, you won't get a call. It doesn't work that way. Let's read on. Verse 13. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? The second thing we need to know to be used by God, we have to care about people. You'll notice that when Gideon replies to this angel of the Lord, he doesn't say, why has all this happened to me? But he's concerned about God's people. He says, why has all this happened to us? And why have you abandoned us? And you can see that there's this attitude of concern that he actually... he's wanting to know, why has this happened to God's people? But here's what I want to get at is that ministry, being used of God, is all about people. That's all it's about. And sometimes people that want to be used by God, sometimes they just have it kind of mixed up. It's like, they want to be used because somehow or another they want to be in the limelight or they want to feel better about themselves. I don't know, but listen, it's all about people. That's really why we do what we do. Whatever we do for God, that's why we do it, is because we care about people. There's a lot of people that would like to be in the ministry if it wasn't for the people. Y'all heard that before, right? I mean, you've heard about those preachers, right? The ministry would really be great if it wasn't for the people. I mean, what a great job if it just wasn't for the people. It is about the people. That's all it's about. It's about reaching people. God loves people. And when we're used of God, it's because he wants to reach people. He wants to help people. And so if you want to be used of God, you got to have compassion for people. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the needs of the people. And we've got to be moved with compassion. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, it talks about, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about how that if we speak in the tongues of men and angels, if we prophesy, if we have all knowledge and all faith that can move mountains, he says, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. You can't leave the love out. See, it doesn't matter how gifted you are, doesn't matter how much you have to offer. If you don't love, then you just can't be used. Third, to be used by God, we have to be humble. Judges, let's read on verses 50, it's chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. You remember that time in the scripture when the Lord called this one guy and he said, yeah, I'm ready because I'm the best and I'm the strongest and I'm the smartest. It never happened, did it? No, God's always calling these somewhat reluctant leaders who say, me? I can't even talk. Who am I? I'm the least of my family and my family is the sorriest there is. How are you going to use me? In fact, it's really amazing that Moses, when he was leading several million people, the Bible says he was the meekest man in all the earth. The NIV actually says the most humble man in all the earth. But you just see in Gideon that there was no pride, there was no arrogance, there was no self-confidence about what he could do. And here's why that's important. God uses those who will give him the glory. He will not share his glory with another. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. And you know, it's kind of a sad thing. In fact, it's kind of a sick thing when God does something and somebody takes the credit for it or gets the credit for it. He uses ordinary people, uses ordinary things. Moses had an ordinary shepherd's staff. God used it to do miracles. Turned it into a snake that swallowed up the snakes of Pharaoh, or of Pharaoh's magicians. Uses ordinary people like Peter and John, who are arrested for preaching Jesus, but here's what the authorities said about them in Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note of these men that they had been with Jesus. Now, here's the only thing that was really astounding about these men is that they had been with Jesus, but they were unschooled, ordinary. I mean, these guys were ignorant fishermen. And I'm just wanting to point out to you that God uses humble people who are going to give him the glory. And if we want to be used of God, we got to realize it's not about us, it's not about our abilities, but it's about God's ability and it's about his anointing in our life. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. You know, sometimes when people are gifted, there's a temptation to think that they can do it. Let me tell you something about gifting. Gifting draws people. I'm not saying gifting is a bad thing. The only time gifting becomes a bad thing is when somebody thinks that it's them instead of God. God gifts people, but gifting draws people. But listen to me, anointing changes people. It is anointing that gives life. See, there's a lot of gifted people in this world, but they're not changing lives, at least not for the good. And I'm just telling you, gifting draws, but it is God's anointing that actually does the work. It is God's anointing, the Holy Spirit, that deals with hearts and changes lives. That's why we just have to be humble and realize that we're just vessels, clay vessels. But it is God's power that's at work in and through us. And so we always stay humble. He uses the humble. Philippians 2:5-11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus Christ, who was God, he didn't just hang on to that, but he was willing to let go and become a man and humble himself even unto death. And I'm just telling you that if we want to be used by God, we just got to humble ourselves. Now, if we humble ourselves, guess what? God will exalt us. But our place is to humble ourselves. There's just no room for pride in the kingdom. Paul says, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. God always gets the glory. Fourth, if we want to be used by God, we have to have faith. You know, it doesn't matter if you're talking about Gideon or Noah, talking about David and Goliath, or you're talking about Joshua. God requires faith. He's going to get the glory. That means that he is involved, that he's doing something. It's not just us. When we're used by God, it's God that does the heavy lifting. Amen? We just do the easy part. Not only did Gideon believe, but the men that were with him had to have faith. And so Gideon starts out with 32,000 men. We're going to pick the story back up in Judges chapter 7, verse 2. And I kind of just passed over some of that fleece thing. We'll save that for another time. But Judges chapter 7 and verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her." See, God's just not interested in men or people getting the glory. And he doesn't want to move and work when somebody else is going to get the credit for it. So he says, you got too many men. You got too many men to win this battle. Y'all might, just by chance, think that you managed to do this on your own. So he says, announce to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. So now he's got 10,000. And what are these 10,000? They are people who are not afraid. Let me tell you one of the most common reasons why people don't do anything for God. They're afraid. Fear is the antithesis of faith. If you're afraid, you got to decide that you're going to trust God. You know, having faith doesn't mean that you don't have doubts and fears come against you or come into your mind. But it's a choice that you make to trust God anyway, that you're going to believe God. And I'm telling you, Faith is always involved if God's in it, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so if God is using us, there's always going to be that element of faith. And again, we might think that we have a certain amount of ability, but apart from his anointing and his blessing, we got to know that we can't do anything. Apart from him, we can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. But a lot of people are just afraid. They're afraid they're going to fail, afraid of what other people will think, afraid to do something new or do something beyond their natural ability. I'm just telling you, if you're going to be used of God, there's always going to be faith involved. It's trust in God. Fifth, if we want to be used by God, we need to be ready. We're going to read Judges 7, 4 through 8. But the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will sift them for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, and he kept 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now, there's a lot of different interpretations about what happened here. And I think the most important thing is that God wanted a small number because, again, he wants the glory. He wants the world to know that this was a miracle, something that God did and not just their own strength. But the men who lapped with their hands, they just reached down to the water and put it up to their lips. The others got down and put their face, they got down on their knees and put their face to the water. The men who brought the water up to their mouths, they were ready. They were alert and ready for action. And I want to tell you, God uses those who are ready. Now, I realize that's a blanket statement, and there may be some exceptions to that, but I'm just telling you, if you want to be used of God, you need to be ready. This is different than available. Available means that your schedule is open to God. Being ready means that you're ready, that you've got something to give, that you're ready to be used of God. We're supposed to be instant in season, that when an opportunity presents itself, we're ready for that opportunity. I think a lot of the time we miss it because there are opportunities and we're just not ready for them. We're supposed to have an answer to every man. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about you getting to the place where you know 4,000 scriptures that you can quote it's not about your own ability and your self-confidence, and I don't want to skew it that way. But I'm telling you, at the same time, we should be a good steward. We should be studying. We should be preparing ourselves. Paul wrote Timothy and said to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm just telling you, it's important that we're ready for whatever way that God wants to use us. I remember going to a youth Sunday school class. It's kind of a long story, but I was the youth pastor, but I wasn't teaching the youth Sunday school class. And I went to the class, and the teacher comes in with the material, and she gets it out, and she sits down, and she reads it to them. It's the first time she's looked at it. You wonder why the teenagers are bored and don't want to go. And I'm just telling you, whatever we do for God, we should do with excellence, and we need to be ready to the best of our ability. Needs to be. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Put me in, coach. And when coach calls your number, if you're sitting on the bench with your helmet off, drinking some Kool-Aid, he's probably going to call you not again. He's going to call that kid that's standing there saying, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. Put me in, coach. And I'm just saying to you that we just need to be ready when God gives us an opportunity. In fact, I believe the Lord will give us opportunities when we're truly ready. Sixth, if we want to be used by God, we have to be obedient. It's amazing that the Lord just expects us to obey Him and then He does the rest. We're going to read 16 through 22. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. He said, watch me, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. And when I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. What a crazy plan. I'm telling you, only the Lord can come up with this kind of stuff. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch. Just after they changed the guard, they blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. What a crazy plan. Just like when the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho. What a crazy plan. Now here's the point. We just need to obey God. If he says fill the water pots, you fill it. I mean, you just do what God says to do. If we want to be used by God, that's what it takes. You just have to be willing to be obedient and trust God that he's going to do the rest, that he'll bring the victory. A lot of people have a hard time following instructions. I mean, have you ever been that place where you just think, now God, there's a better way. How about if we do this? And sometimes we just need to obey God, and he brings the victory. Seventh, here's the last one. We have to complete the task given to us. Why would God choose to use somebody who's only going to go halfway? Now, Gideon is really a great example in this because I'm not going to read the rest of the story tonight. Let me just read one more verse. It's from Judges 8:28. It says, thus Midian was subdued before the Israelites and did not raise its head again. During Gideon's lifetime, the land enjoyed peace 40 years. I would say he did a good job, wouldn't you? Well, here's the thing. When they surrounded the camp and they turned on each other with their swords, well, then the enemy began to flee. And they pursued after them and pursued after them and pursued after them. They kept going until they completed the task. And you know, even in the stories of the Bible, you'll see many times where they didn't. They failed to do that. And in our generation, it's just epidemic that people start things and don't finish them. But if we really want to be used of God, I think people miss the greatest blessing when they get halfway and give up or get tired or for whatever reason decide that they're not going to serve or not going to be used anymore. And so I just want to say to you, stick with it until you have completed the task. That we might be able to say, as the Lord Jesus did, I have completed the task that he has given me. And we might know for sure that we've done what God wanted us to do. There's an old secular song. Some of you, you might tune out those scriptures, but you'll listen to old secular song, right? No. It's called Use Me. Don't start singing it, all right? I don't want to hear any burn, burn, all that. I don't want to hear that. It goes like this, though. I'm going to spread the news that if it feels this good getting used, well, keep on using me till you use me up. I want to tell you something. It is an awesome thing to be used by God. I still remember the first time that I ever led somebody to the Lord and led them in a sinner's prayer. What an exciting, powerful thing. And however God may use you, whether it's sharing the simple gospel story or laying hands on the sick like Bob was talking about earlier, whatever it might be, if you're just putting your arm around somebody and comforting them during a difficult time, or maybe God will use you to help somebody with a financial difficulty, I don't know, but I'm just telling you, it is a powerful, awesome thing when you know that God has used you. And when you've made a difference in somebody's life, when there's a change in somebody's heart and a difference made in eternity, what a powerful thing. What a rush. So I want to challenge you tonight. Get used. Let God use you. Make up your mind. You're going to be a person that God will look for, that God would choose to use. I just want to reiterate one, all right? Be available. That's the first one. I'm telling you, that is what gets most people out right out of the gate. They're just simply not available. Now listen to me. I love you, and don't get mad at me. I'm going to say this. See, I'm saying some people, so I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about that person next to you. But some people, see, they think they're available until you say, okay, this is what you need. Oh, well, you know, I can't do that. I'm just telling you, you got to get available if you really want God to use you. God can use you, but if you're too busy to be used by God, you're just plain too busy. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for such a joy, Lord, to know the power and the touch of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And Lord, we, as your people, Lord, we just want more of that. Lord, we just invite you to move and to work in our hearts. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus tonight that your Spirit would just use us and flow through us. Lord, we believe. We're believers, and we see in the Scripture that the works that Jesus did, we will do also, and greater works than these shall we do. And so, Father, we're believing you for great things in these last days to use us, Lord, to see many, many people saved and many, many lives changed. And many people healed and set free and made whole. And Lord, we just call out to you and ask that you use us in Jesus' name. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. And Father, if there's things in us that are unusable, Lord, if there are things in us that need to change, Lord, so that we are ready to be used, Lord, we just pray you do that in us in the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that for yourself, if you're praying that for yourself, just say amen, would you? Amen. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get used. Amen. If you need special prayer tonight, we'd be glad to pray with you. And just as you go out tonight, just be looking, expecting, believing God to use you. Amen. Lord bless you.